Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Colin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Colin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this weekend's edition, we're going to be focusing on the commodities sector. Man, there are a lot of commodities that continue to perform and a lot of money that has now rotated into a lot of these commodities stocks. The first two segments, we're going to touch on more of the metal side of things, precious metals, base metals. And in the back half of the show, we're moving over to the energy sectors as we have seen a rebound, a strong move actually in oil, and even a bit of a rebound in natural gas. To kick off the show, we're chatting with Nick Hodge, co-owner of Digest Publishing and editor of Foundational Profits and Hodge Family Office. Now, Nick, let's start off with kind of a big picture view here of markets as they tie into commodities. Rotation has been a story over the last about 2.5 years where money seems to stay within the markets and rotate into different sectors, pushing different sectors higher at different times. In the last about month and a half now, it really has been the commodities time to shine as we've seen precious metals, gold and silver move higher. Copper's also moved higher. Uranium was kind of running last year. Nick, let's talk about this rotation trade. Your thoughts on, is this the time early on potentially or even mid-stage where you're seeing money kind of rotate into the commodities because maybe they were the ones that were lagging a lot of the other sectors?
And there's a lot to break off there and chew on. So let me, you know, climb up in my airplane as I typically do and tell you that I think we're in a commodity super cycle that started in 2020. I've told you guys that a couple of times. These super cycles ebbs and flows. Speaking, Corey, to what you were just saying, how, you know, money goes into different things at different times with different drivers. But overall, I think we're in a commodity boom that started 4 years ago. And you saw a bit of a pullback in that over the past, call it 18 months, certainly in things like lithium and PGMs, which I know we'll talk about in a second, while other things have been running. So gold is what you want to know about. I mean, look, it closed the first quarter of 2024, the end of March, you know, above $2,100. That's a real important technical indicator. You know, you talk about money coming into the sector recently. That's what bigger funds, generalist funds, you know, non-resource specific funds, they need to see things like that before they start putting capital to work. So a monthly close, a March close at that $2,100 level for gold was, you know, probably a shot across the bow of some of these the generalist funds to start investing in the sector. The other thing is, you know, inflation is reinflating if you're looking for another driver, right? So we had this narrative that, you know, the inflation was under control, that the Fed was going to begin cutting this year, you know, 3 cuts starting in June. But what's happened is the exact inverse of that in terms of reality and inflation, you know. You've had oil go from 60-some dollars to 80-some dollars. You just mentioned that copper was over 4. I told you, by the way, that it was time for copper to break out in the past couple of months. I told you that was coming, and that looks very healthy. So what I'm seeing is in terms of precious metals specifically, they're acting as an inflation hedge, right? With CPI coming out 3.8% recently, you know, the Fed's not going to be able to cut in June, and so I like this kind of market, and I was sort of telling you guys this 2 months ago when I pivoted from, you know, sort of bearish on the broad equities to bullish, is that we're not really contingent on the Fed here, right? You know, inflation's doing its thing, growth is doing its thing, and, you know, I don't think a quarter point, you know, cut from the Fed in June or July is really what investors are focusing on here. I think they're focusing on more fundamental drivers like inflation and growth, and that's what gold is pricing in. So I'd have to tell you that with a strong CPI number out this week, you know, people are saying, though, the Fed's not going to be able to cut. The dollar had a really strong pop, and yet gold is just sort of hovering, right? Look, it just actually is teetering as I'm talking right now. It's going from green to red on my screen. So gold is bullish, inflation is reinflating, and I think we're in a commodity super cycle that started 4 years ago and is going to last another 5 years. So, and now other things are going to start to join the party again in ebbs and flows. So happy to talk about some of those things if you want, and hopefully that was a decent answer to what was a pretty broad question.
Yeah, Nick, it is a pretty broad concept, the commodity super cycle and the commodities taking off. But as you say, across the board, we're seeing pops in a lot of these. Let's just focus in on gold and the precious metal sector for a little longer, though. And when you look at gold, it's been breaking higher despite a relatively strong dollar and despite what was happening in interest rates, and shrugged off one of the most aggressive tightening cycles that we've seen in a long period of time for decades. So all things considered, gold has done great, but what's been buoying the gold price has been central bank buying. Now, central banks don't buy silver, and they don't buy gold stocks or silver stocks. So what's been exciting recently is that silver has finally popped its head up above that $26 resistance level. Now it's up above $28. And the precious mining stocks, not just the majors and the mid-tiers, but even all the way down into the juniors, have finally started to move. So what is your read on where we're at in the precious metal cycle right now?
Well, you're bullish. And so silver is starting to turn bullish as well. You know, I like for gold to confirm, and then I start looking at silver, and silver was acting more industrial here until recently. I think that you've got inflation worries percolating through the market. I think that you've got people interested in buying gold and silver, you know, partially in the U.S. I keep seeing this, you know, story about Costco selling its gold bars. I think Wells Fargo just said they're selling some $200 million worth of them, but certainly globally, you know, China and India likes to buy gold and silver. And what I've seen recently is silver decoupling from being an industrial metal and becoming, you know, more of a precious metal. And I guess let's drill down on that for a second. A couple of things going on there. One that really drives it home for me is clean energy has been weak. So we've been talking about, you know, a bull market. I've told you I've gotten bullish in broad-based equities, even on AI and some tech stocks I've been owning and recommending. What I haven't been as bullish on and what's not worked as well in the market is, you know, these clean energy stocks, solar stocks, wind stocks, hydrogen. And for a while, I was hearing, you know, from the silver permabulls, I have to laugh because, you know, it was silver time since Wall Street silver 3 years ago, and it went absolutely nowhere. And there was always some driver, right? And most recently, it was solar stocks are going to drive silver to the moon, right? But I don't necessarily think that's the case, right? And I don't think solar just breached 26 or 27, you know, on the back of solar deployments globally. What I think that is driving silver up is inflation fears and traditional drivers of precious metals. And so to me, it's not that complicated in my mind. You've got silver now not acting industrial and acting more as a precious metal. And that means it's time to buy it in my mind. And so as I've explained to you, we've been doing these talks for a while now. You probably know how I go about things. I'll start with a silver ETF, a pure commodity ETF. Is sort of a prodding attack, which I've mentioned before, make sure I'm right, and then start going into the equities. You know, if for silver, I'm not an expert. I'm more of a generalist. So I do things, you know, like Mag Silver, for example, is an easy one to get into when silver starts turning bullish. But as far as where we are in the cycle, I mean, I can't tell you how long the cycle is going to last. What I can tell you is that inflation is going to continue to persist higher than, you know, the government and the Fed and the Biden administration want. And that's going to benefit things like gold, silver, other commodities and crypto to a certain extent. So, you know, even my partner, Gerardo Del Real, who you guys might know, was asking me recently, a month or two ago, if it's time to buy silver. And I was telling him no. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm willing to change my mind. And since we've talked last, the three of us, I've changed my mind on silver. And I'm not right all the time. No one is right. I told you also last time, you know, the guy who buys the absolute bottom and sells the absolute top is an absolute liar. So did I miss the bottom in silver? Yeah, maybe. Do I care? No, because I can buy it now and it's bullish and it can go higher. And so I guess a couple of remarks there about how I think about silver and how I think about investing generally.
Perfect timing, Nick, because we are out of time for this segment on the radio. We're having you back on next segment, so everyone just
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to chat with Nick Hodge. Nick, let's get down into some of the more junior companies, gold and silver juniors, because broadly, a lot of these have, let's say, about doubled from some of their lows just at the very end of February. We're seeing a lot of financings come out. But quite frankly, a $2 million financing, that's still just lights on money. I know you sometimes get into these financings. How are you viewing the juniors, their rebound, which it has been a double but hasn't done much for the long-term charts, and now a lot more companies coming out and financing?
Well, you know, I feel like a crypto investor because I'm hodling my junior gold and silver stocks. But last month I was saying that one of the things I wanted to be cautious of was not selling too soon. And that happens sometimes in this space, especially if you buy too soon, right? And buying too soon is also known as being wrong. And what happens is you end up underwater for so long that once you get an uptick, like we've seen over the past month, you're in a rush to get out. So I continue to warn against that to my readers and also to myself. And I'll give you one example, and then we can go from there. A company I've been involved in for a while, a long time, like a decade, is Perpetua Resources. It used to be called Midas Gold. They've been in a permitting process for 7 or 8 years in Idaho, and I was involved in the stock before that, and it's gone absolutely nowhere. You know, they rolled back, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the stock was recently down at $3 or $4 Canadian and had just been languishing there. I mean, right, no catalyst, delays in permitting. It had drifted down from like $10 to, I'm looking at it now, a low of $3.50. That $3.50 low was hit, by the way, at the end of February, so less than 2 months ago. And I remember a mentor of mine telling me, you know, when you get a bull market, people are going to be fighting over this thing at $10 or $15 when no one wanted to buy it at $3 or $4, right? That's sort of how resources work. And lo and behold, what happens? They're scheduled to get their permit this quarter. We'll see if it happens. But they got money from the Department of Defense. And then this week or last week, I guess it was, they announced an indication of a $1.8 billion loan from the Export-Import Bank to build this thing, and shares leapt over $9. Remember what I just said. This was a $3.50 stock in February. It's a $9 stock as I look at it right now. They haven't even got their permit yet. And so, you know, I was talking to my partner and my mentor. It was, you know, I've now doubled my money quickly in the past 30 or 45 days. And I was talking about taking profits, and they advised me what I was just advising you. This thing doesn't even have a permit yet, right? There's a lot further to run up. So, you know, let these winners run. Now, that's a bigger name that's in permitting, right? We're gonna start to construct this thing soon. That's a lot different than, you know, a $2.5 million or a $5 million market cap company on the smaller end of the spectrum. Those are the guys across the board that tend to raise money when the prices tick up because, you know, juniors are always burning money. They're not generating any revenue. So they always need to raise money to keep moving forward. When you get an uptick in the prices is when they tend to take advantage of that. And that can, you know, sometimes not be good for retail shareholders. So I think I was telling you guys last month when I was looking at my financings, you know, my warrants were starting to expire because some of these things I had financed 2-3 years ago, that they had a 2 or 3 year warrant, then that's coming up for expiration and likely not in the money yet, you know, despite the good month of March and April that we had in the resource space. So I will start to write checks into these companies. So I can get that warrant extension is primarily what I'm looking for. I want to be able to have exposure in the future because I don't have a crystal ball that lets me know how it is going to play out. And so, yes, I will start financing into these companies. I guess another thing I would say is that it just speaks to the illiquidity of the sector, how these stocks have gone up here in the past month or two, right? So, you know, you look at some of these 10 or 15 centers, and you do the dollar volume math, right? Like look at their volume, how many shares traded hands times the price, right? And you'll see that some of these stocks are doubling on $30,000 or $50,000 worth of buying. And so I think it's still really early in the cycle. You know, you look at the stocks versus the gold price, they still got a lot of upside left. And so I'm feeling bullish and I'm trying to prevent myself from selling too soon.
Let's toggle over to copper, though. The good doctor, Dr. Copper, finally breaking above four. It really now up in the 420s, almost at 430, and getting close to that same level that we saw just last year as a peak. Now, you were not table-pounding bullish, Nick, and I want to give you credit because for years everybody's been pounding the table on copper, 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 and it's finally looking like this is a move that's going to be a more sustainable run. Even the copper stocks, if you look at the producers and COPEX, or I know you mentioned last time you're an ICOP, that new fund. There's actually a lot of new copper ETFs now with COPP from Sprott and COPJ from Sprott for the junior. So you got four copper ETFs, more momentum in the space. How are you playing it? Are you just in the producers or are you delving down into the juniors too?
Yeah, that ETF's up 20% in the past month, by the way, since I bought it and then talked to you guys about it. That's good work if you can get it on a mainstream listed ETF. That just goes to show why timing matters. If you remember, I told you I bought that ETF because I thought China was going to be one of the main drivers behind this, you know, rising copper price, this reinflation of commodity prices where China's sort of been closed off for the past couple of years. And so we did go into ICOP and that's worked out well. I own other copper juniors for sure that I've financed privately. Last month I was telling you about Hannon as my example. That stock's up 90% in the past month. They announced another copper gold porphyry target just this morning before we spoke. They'll likely, you know, back to financings on the last question, they'll likely be raising money in May and I'll recommend that financing and we'll write a check into it. I think I also told you about Gladiator. There's another small stock I'm in, Gladiator Metals up in the Yukon. That's another stock that's added, you know, 5 or 7 cents from a 30 cent base here in the past couple of weeks. So I own them differently and I try to make myself clear and I feel like I don't sometimes, but on the junior side, I tend to buy and hold for a long time. I get access to cheap financings. I get access early in life cycles and these things take a long time to play out. And so I have them in my portfolio and I finance them over time. They're starting to move now. I think the other thing I told you is that, I do these priming attacks, right? So I bought the ICOP, and now that I've been proven correct, I'll look to get more aggressive, right? So I'll look to get into individual names like the Ivanhoes and the Southern Coppers and the Philos of the world, and I'm going through some of those right now. And it's sort of funny just to sort of, you know, watch how these things play out if you know what to look for in real time, given that, you know, everyone is on Twitter and social media. I see that Mr. Friedland is getting his promoter's hat dusted off as well, you know, going back on the Twitter and talking about Ivanhoe, et cetera. And so, yeah, these copper stocks are looking really good. It's time to start, you know, matriculating into the individual larger names and then, you know, continue writing checks into these copper juniors as I sort of just laid out.
All right, Nick, that's all the time we have for this segment. But, you know, we'll continue chatting. We'll play the extended version of this interview on our website and podcast and YouTube page. So, everyone, please just check those out if you want to hear a bit more on what Nick Hodge had to say.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
U.S. USA News Update. Wall Street ending a tumultuous week with a significant downturn. Stocks experiencing a notable drop amid renewed concerns about inflation and reports suggesting Israel's readiness for a retaliatory strike from Iran over the weekend. Donald Trump set to make history as the first former president to face trial in a criminal case. Jury selection for Trump's alleged hush money case taking place in New York City on Monday. The U.S. Embassy in Israel cautioning Americans in the country about security risks. A security alert has been issued limiting travel for government employees and their families. The House passing a bill to reauthorize Section 702 of FISA, permitting intelligence agencies to surveil foreigners abroad. Corey Myers, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with the Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit IRS.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And as promised, we're shifting our focus to the energy sector. We're chatting with Joseph Schachter, founder and editor of the Schachter Energy Report. Also, a free report called Eye on Energy, where Joseph covers more of the fundamental drivers in terms of published data for oil and natural gas. We're going to start off by talking, again, more on these fundamentals, what Joseph thinks is driving the oil move up to the mid-80s, and natural gas at least a little rebound into about the $1.80 range. But still a lot of catching up potentially for natural gas compared to what oil has done. But again, very different markets. Joseph, let's start off with that move in oil as we are recording this on Thursday later in the day. Crude is up to, well, right about $85, off a little bit today, but it's been quite a strong run for crude in terms of the data that you are reading, what you think is driving this market. Please share with us, what are these fundamental drivers behind this move higher?
Well, there were a number of drivers that pushed it up. Originally, it was the OPEC, putting in limits on their production, where they did do some cutbacks, but never as large as what they were talking about being the 2.2 million barrels. It was more like 400,000 or 500,000, but it was a cut. The second, of course, was winter, where you had strong demand. but that's, you know, ending, even though there's still snow in Calgary. And third was the situation going on in the Middle East with the attack in October and then Israel's war against Hamas in Gaza. And it pushed the price of oil up to about $88. Today we're down $1.20 to about $85. And the reason is yesterday's EIA report showed a very big build in inventories, 13 million barrels. And we now have some of the subsets of it showing that they're above last year's inventory levels. And I'll give you a couple examples. For example, you have the commercial stocks were up 5.8 million. Motor gasoline was up 700,000, but it's up 6.3 million from a year ago. And then distillate fuels is up 1.7 million, and that's up 5.3 million barrels from a year ago. If we go to total stocks, you're looking at 13 million barrels, and we're only 12.5 million below a year ago. So, again, a couple more weeks of this, and we're in the shoulder season, where after the strong winter demand, you go into a period where global demand falls off by 2 to 2.5 million. So if we have an average of, let's say, 102 for the year, you might go below 100, 98, 99, maybe at the low, during those shoulder seasons of spring and fall. And then when you get into the summer, you might be 103, 104. And then at the end of this year, you'll probably be again at the same when we have winter 2024, 2025. The other key point of interest in the report was that exports came down. The U.S. has been a very big exporter of light crude, and, you know, countries around the world would, of course, love to buy from the U.S. if they have, especially if they have deficits in trade or surpluses in trade, and they need to tighten that up with the U.S. So they would buy U.S. crude versus other crudes and with the, you know, transportation advantages as well. But exports fell 1.3 million barrels from 4 million to 2.7, which tells you that there's an adequate supply of oil around the world right now. And with shoulder season underway, if the U.S. Consumption is down, which it was, it fell 2 million barrels from 21.3 to 19.2. And if China demand is weak, then you're seeing that we're seeing a softness in demand in the two largest economies in the world. And the biggest, you know, China's the biggest importer and the United States is the biggest producer and consumer. That tells you that prices could back off, except for what's going on in terms of the geopolitical situation and the concern right now that after Israel killed two Iranian generals in a consulate in Damascus, historically, when you're at war, you never attack diplomatic missions, be they embassies or consulates. Israel did that to get after this general that was controlling all of the terrorist organizations in Syria and Lebanon and working with Hamas in Gaza. And there was another killing just, you know, yesterday of, you know, three more militants tied to one of the leaders in living in Qatar, I think. So there's a political and war situation has kept prices up, even though, as I said, we're down today over a dollar. But I think that the price of $85, based on the fundamentals, should go below 80, and there'll still be a war premium in there, maybe 10, 12 bucks. But if for some reason the war situation stabilizes and Biden is able to arm twist Netanyahu to not invade Rafah, and there's some kind of a hostage deal that cools things down with a ceasefire, we could see a lot of that war premium come down. And so there is a window between now and the summer driving season at the end of June for the price of crude to not only break 80, but potentially even break 70.
Well, and Joseph, with that in mind, if oil could hit this softer patch between now and the summer driving season, and like you say, break 80 and possibly even break 70, what does that mean for the oily stocks? Because they've been on the blistering run higher. I usually look at things through the lens of XLE, the big ETF, and it's been making all-time highs and honestly was continuing to blaze higher even when oil was trending sideways. It's just now maybe started to roll over, and we've seen that in the small caps and XOP. Do you think if we saw that pullback in price that this is a good profit-taking moment for energy investors?
I think because of the large caps being the XLE, it reached 98.47 on the high It's down, to 97.43 today, but, it could go down, below 80 if we do see the price of crude break 70. So to take profits makes a lot of sense to me. Some of our favorite names have had such great runs. We had Whitecap in the low eights, and now it was over 10.5 earlier today. So that was a very nice move. And then you had a surge, which was under $6, and it got over $8. That was one of our top picks, and it did very well. So there's been some great moves in the oily sector, and if we bust 80, they're going to go down. And, and then depending upon what happens in the Middle East, we could go much lower. But again, the window is till the summer driving season. I think once we are in the summer driving season, I think we will see 80s and maybe even 90s. And in our forecast, we're even assuming in Q4 that supply and demand tighten up quite a bit, and we see prices even peaking over 100, not for the whole quarter, but you may see a few days in that, 3-month window that are where we see price trading over 100 simply because the supply-demand situation tightens up, because most companies are just focusing on replacing their decline rates. And maybe if you're a growth mode, you might be 3 or 5%. So there's not going to be a lot of new production coming on in 2024, 25. And if OPEC is, keeps their quotas, as they say, and don't bring back a lot of production. And Russia, of course, has problems now with all the attacks on its refineries and production facilities shipping through the Black Sea. We could see that $100. And if, there's a war event somewhere, China, Taiwan, Russia has more success in their fight in Ukraine, in eastern part of the country. If Lebanon, Hezbollah get involved with direct attacks on Israel, all of that war premium can expand. We've had in the past war premiums $30 or $40 when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. So, right now I would say there's a $10 to $15 war premium there, but that war premium can shrink or that war premium can expand depending upon how bad the hostilities are.
All right, Joseph, we're out of time for this segment on the radio. We're going to be right back, and we are going to continue to talk about some of the energy stocks and even get a little bit more into the natural gas market. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Joseph Schachter. Be sure to check out Joseph's website and newsletter, the Schachter Energy Report, to stay up to date with all the companies he's following.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem?
Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Back, final segment of the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Continuing to chat with Joseph Schachter, continuing to talk energy. Joseph, look, we've talked about how well the major oil companies have done. What about the juniors, though? Because those have started to do a bit better, but again, they're not close to even breaking out to all-time highs. I don't even think many of them, actually some of them are at right around 52-week highs, so that's a bit more encouraging, but still a lot more upside to go. They've also traded generally lower volumes from what I've seen. Any interest in some of the smaller cap stocks to add a little more torque to the upside when you do get that other buying signal?
Yeah, we like, names like Bonterra that has a high oil content, Hemisphere, In-Play Oil, Questair Energy, Rubellite, Touchstone, Valura. And there's others that have a higher oil weighting, Surge Energy's 86% liquids. So you can have those stocks do better, because the generalists, when they come in, they go to the CNQs, they go to the Suncors, Imperial Oil, Synovus, MEG, and then they work their way down. And we just had the BMO Cap Conference on Tuesday and Wednesday in Toronto, and a lot of generalist portfolio managers were there. And there were a lot of one-on-one meetings that the companies told me they had with people they hadn't seen for a while, that because the generalists weren't interested in the sector. And that's why the oily names have done well. A couple of the service stocks like CES Energy Solutions had a good week because of the conference. It reached a high this week of 571, which is the 52-week high. This was a $2.30 stock at the low. So we are seeing some action in the service sector. One of my favorite names is Trican. It got up to 451. This was a stock that was under $3 at the low this year. So, and it's not near its high, which was 533, but it's 451, and it's up today when a lot of the companies are down. Because if we start seeing a lot more activity once, you know, TMX line is on, which is imminent, and then the Coastal Gas line comes on in Q4 with LNG Canada, the activity level to drill to fill is going to, you know, pick up the service sector activity level, and that's going to cause profitability, you know, as your utilization of your equipment goes up and your day rates even have some chance to move up. The total return becomes very good for energy service companies.
I'm glad you brought up the energy services companies, because I was looking at OIH as another ETF and noticed that it had had a pretty good move recently. It was rolling over, but to your point, if the LNG Canada terminals come on, that could be a new life for that sector. Let's talk a little bit more about NatGas, though, and the NatGas stocks. I know that right now we have a lot of interest, people writing us in questions asking about, has NatGas finally bottomed? When will it get moving? What about the stocks? What's your take on that, Joseph?
Well, you know, NatGas historically backs off this time of year. You know, winter demand is over to the most part. You know, you had a 37 BCF drawdown last Thursday. I haven't pulled out the data from today yet. You know, withdrawal season is the end of April, ends in April, and then we start building. But we have very high storage levels for NatGas, and also in Canada and the States. In the U.S., I just got the data from last week, it's 2.26 TCF, and you want to normally be under 2 TCF at the end of the year. A year ago, we were at 1.84 TCF, and the five-year average is 1.5 TCF. So we're looking at very big storage numbers, and until we get more LNG exports out of the States, you know, we are seeing a decline in production in a number of places in the U.S. and the Appalachia area. The problem we have is everybody's drilling for light oil in the Permian, and as a byproduct, you have natural gas. So the companies there are selling natural gas or giving it away at it, or even paying somebody to take it. So negative pricing, because they're making so much money on the light oil, you know, at $85 a barrel. In Canada, natural gas is still, you know, sloppy at the $1.60-$1.70 range, because the same thing, if you're an oil producer and you're getting 85 US, multiply that by 1.36 or whatever the Canadian exchange rate is today, and you're making out really, really well, that if the byproduct natural gas doesn't make you any money, you don't really care. And so it hurts the dry natural gas guys who don't have that liquids support.
Joseph, how do you go about analyzing these companies then that do have that natural gas kicker? But as you just mentioned, it can vary between what that offtake or what that extra product is. How much does that filter into your analysis of these companies?
Well, I always look at the mix of the business. We do up an NAV with the same pricing comparison, you know, right across the board between large cap, small cap, and we have a discount for heavy oil versus light oil, and then we come up with NAVs. And right now, you know, the NAVs of many of these companies they're trading at significant discounts. For example, I know you guys know Petrus quite well. The company has a $4.02 NAV at the end of 2023. The stock trades at $1.32. One of the oily names, Bonterra, which is a junior, trading at $6.77 when I did this run. I think it's a bit higher today, but it has an NAV of $21.28. So you look at all those numbers and the mix, and then you look at the, you know, the way the market is trading. I prefer to buy stocks when the market is ignoring the area and they're very, very cheap. And, you know, we've had many, many times like that December of last year. We've had a couple times this year already. And I think that right now we've had a frenzy. And if the price of oil backs off below 80, we're going to see, you know, a pullback right across the board, with the most air being those large cap oily names that the big generalist institutions chased up here, and they pushed them up to what I consider lofty levels if we have a break of $80 WTI.
Well, Joseph, just summarizing kind of the themes in the market here, if the oily names, especially the biggest ones, the largest cap stocks, could have a little more downside pressure, and if some of the small caps or some of the oil services, and in particular the nat gas stocks, have a little more upside, does it make sense to just do a rotation trade and pull some money out of the biggest oil names and put it into nat gas stocks or oil services stocks?
Yeah, because you've got some very nice dividends there as well. You know, if you look at, you know, a company like InPlay, which is, you know, 59% liquids, you know, they're paying a 7% dividend yield. Petrus is paying a 9% dividend yield, a penny a month. You know, so you've got some very, very healthy. Surge pays, you know, 4 cents a month, 6% dividend yield. So you've got companies that are giving you reasonable yields that have a nice mix of both oil and natural gas. And that's, I think, a good rotation. But if you're a little more nimble, you might want to wait for the correction because you might save 10% or more on the natural gas weighted or energy service names. You know, if we have a 15-20% overall correction in the energy sector over the next couple of months.
So, Joseph, how sustainable are these dividends, though? If, let's just say, natural gas stays sub $2, kind of in the range that it's in now, and if oil does correct like you think it might?
Yeah, I think the, you know, the natural gas, you know, may back off a little bit more because of this, you know, during the summertime, unless the air conditioning demand is strong. But remember, September and LNG Canada is not that far away. So, you know, we may have some ruckus and, you know, and weaker prices in the short term. But anytime you see bargains in the sector, you want to nibble away at them. You know, we had tremendous bargains in the oily side, going back when we had oil sub $70, which was not that long ago. What was that, November, December? And we got, there were a lot of bargains, and a lot of those stocks are up 30 to 50% from those lows. If they back off, you know, 20% from here, you know, there'll be buys. And if we do see $90 with peaking over 100 in Q4 for oil, if we get 250 plus for gas, remember, a lot of the natural gas companies have been doing hedging. And if you look at the forward curve for winter of 24-25, you've got pricing in there over $3. So, you know, companies that are doing appropriate hedging, 25 to 40% of their business, so that they have their CapEx program taken care of. If you're at the higher end, also because you have a dividend, you want to protect that. And then you leave some for better pricing if there is a that. Companies that don't hedge are the ones that are going to be more vulnerable to low prices. But some of them are trading at such discounts to their NAV. For example, one of the names that we've liked and talked about many times in the past is Birchcliff, which trades around $5.50. Its NAV is $24.22. So, you know, if it, in the next 2 to 3 years, if it just gets to its NAV, we're looking at a, you know, a four bagger plus.
There you have it, the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Again, very focused on the resource sector. Very interesting end to the week as well for all markets, as we saw some pretty big reversal candles. Be interesting to see how the markets open up next week. Everyone, stick around for the second hour, where we will be replaying some of our more listened to segments, as well as replaying a few company updates from a number of segments and updates that we recorded and went live with last week.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.